If you have those handouts that were given to you, please turn to that. Today will be a slightly topical sermon, and we will be meditating on a great truth. So before we let's read God's word first, and please don't have that handout with you. I will read out each and every verse which is listed in there. We're going to be meditating on the doctrine of union with Christ, and I pray that it would be a blessing to each one of you. Hear God's word. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 10. Before me no God was formed, nor shall there be any after me. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 15 to 20. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Never. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a prostitute becomes one body with her? For as it is written, the two will become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. 1 John chapter 4, verse 13. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. And because of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption. John chapter 15, verses 1 to 4. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. John chapter 6, verse 56, whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. Let's look to the Lord briefly in prayer. Father, we've gathered here to listen to your word. Father, we pray that you would feed us. Lord, these are your people whom you have redeemed by your outstretched arm. Lord, feed them and use me as an instrument. May you use the words that are spoken to bless your people. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As you read your Bible, and especially the New Testament, there is one phrase you will come across almost in every page of your New Testament. And that's a small phrase called in him or in Christ. For example, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. There we read, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. We read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, "For he who knew no sin became sin for us, that in him we might become the righteousness of God." We read in Romans chapter 6, verse 3 and 4, "For we were buried with him in baptism, so that just as Christ was raised to the newness of life, or rather raised by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life." So these are just a sampling of a few verses which talk about in him or in Christ. And this great truth of being in him or in Christ is what theologians call union with Christ. And so today we will be meditating on this great truth, which I would say is a great reality for us believers, and how it applies in our lives. We will be considering this great truth under three headings. I will talk about what union with Christ is not, what union with Christ is, and what union with Christ entails. What union with Christ is not? Union with Christ is not us becoming God. Union with Christ is not us becoming God. Why do I say that? Well, in our culture, there is this notion which prevails that each one of us has a seed of God in him, and that this whole universe and nature is God, and that all we need to do is tap into the energies or the forces of nature, and that we will become gods ourselves. In other words, there is no creator distinct from the creature, but all of creation is in itself God. Now you may ask, Venki, how do you come up with this kind of an argument? Where do we read about these things? Well, there is a movie which got released, and it took our culture by storm, and that movie is Star Wars. And what do they say in that? May force be with you. And what is this force? This force is the energy which is there in this world, and you need to tap in into that energy. And that's why the tagline of that movie says, the force is out there, just let it in. You just let the force in, tap into that force, and then you become like a savior of the world. And you slay the wicked and you uphold the righteous, and whatever they mean by righteousness and wickedness. Well, there is no distinction between a creator and the creature. The whole world has energies or force, and we need to tap it in. And so when we have this kind of a notion thrust on us on a daily basis, it may be very tempting for us to think of union with Christ in a similar way. We might think, oh, maybe when the Bible says we are united to Christ, we become gods. Brothers and sisters, we will remain creatures forever. Even in heaven, when we are experiencing the full union with our Savior, we will still remain creatures. We will never become gods. You know, this is a concept that is even prevalent within some Christian traditions, especially in Christian mysticism, which is making its way even into Protestant churches. You keep on contemplating, and they think that by contemplating, you become one like God. So union with Christ is not us becoming God, because what does God say in Isaiah chapter 43, verse 10, which I have printed out for you? Before me, no God was formed, nor shall there be any after me. There is only one triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And of course, we will be united with him, and we will see what that union is, but that union does not mean that you and I become God. We will always be creatures. So union with Christ is not us becoming God. Secondly, union with Christ is not merely spiritual. Notice what I say. It is not merely spiritual. It is spiritual, but it is not merely spiritual. If you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17, Paul clearly affirms that union with Christ is our spirit becoming one with the Lord, with his spirit. But he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. So our spirits are united with the spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is in heaven right now. That is union with Christ. But it is not merely that. Look at what Paul says in verse 15. He says, 1 Corinthians 6, verse 15, "Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ?" This physical body that you possess, beloved, is a member of Christ. This flesh and blood is a member and is united to Christ. Last week, we went for the funeral service of our beloved brother, Dave Long, and we took such great care in the way we bury our departed brethren. Why? Because we honor the body. As James reminded us in the morning today, our bodies are not envelopes of our spirits, which have to be thrown away once we die. But rather, we take care of those bodies. We bury them properly because even those bodies which have died are united to Christ, and they will be raised on the resurrection day. And it is because of this great truth of union with Christ that even your bodies are united with Christ, Paul admonishes the Corinthians. He says in verse 18, "Flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body." Why should you and I not use our bodies as an instrument of wickedness? Apart from many other reasons, one of the main reasons is that your body does not belong to yourself. It belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. Your bodies are members of Christ, and that includes every portion of your body. So, brothers and sisters, union with Christ is not us becoming God, and union with Christ is not merely spiritual. So what then is union with Christ if it is not these things? Union with Christ, as we have seen even now, is a union of your body and spirit with the risen Lord Jesus Christ through the agency of the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit who unites your body and soul with the body and soul of our risen Lord Jesus Christ. Look at what Paul says in verse 15, and then look at what Paul says in verse 19 of 1 Corinthians chapter 6. He says in verse 15, "Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ?" And then in verse 19, he says, "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you?" So for Paul, your bodies being a member of Christ is the same thing as your bodies being a temple of the Holy Spirit. These are parallel realities. It is the Holy Spirit who joins your spirit with the Lord, the risen Savior who is in heaven right now. And he is the one, the Holy Spirit, who joins your body with the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. You may say that the Holy Spirit is the connecting link, if I may even use that phrase, between you and Christ. Union with Christ is through the agency of the Holy Spirit. That's why John says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 13, that's the next verse I've listed out for you. What does he say? He says, "By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit." It is the Holy Spirit who has been given to us who makes this reality come to being, which is that we abide in him and Jesus abides in us. We know that because the Spirit of God has been given to you and me. So the union with Christ is us being joined in body and spirit with the Lord Jesus Christ through the agency of the Holy Spirit. Union with Christ is also the source of every spiritual blessing which you and I as Christians experience. You know, as Christians, we experience a lot of spiritual blessings. We experience predestination in God. We experience foreknowledge. We experience justification, sanctification, and then finally we will experience glorification. And all of these things, all of these blessings are in Christ. It's as if union with Christ is the fountainhead out of which all these blessings flow. That's what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. He says, "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in whom? In Christ, with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places." And then he says, "Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world." Isn't that a staggering thought that you were chosen in Christ even before the foundation of the world? You did not even know your own existence, but yet God chose you in him. You know, this is what we in theology call non-vital union. You were non-vitally united. That means you didn't know it. You were not still living. That's why non-vital. But you were still united with Christ in some profound way. All this is not to say that you and I were not enemies. We were enemies of Christ before we put our faith in him. But in some profound way, we were united with Christ because we were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. But then this union took reality in our earthly existence. And this union, which comes to pass in our earthly existence, we call it as vital union. And that's what Paul expounds in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. Look at what Paul says. "And because of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption." You are in Christ Jesus, says Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. And then he says, because you are in Christ Jesus, he became to you wisdom from God. I would understand that as the gospel of God. Righteousness. What righteousness is Paul talking about there? It's the righteousness that is imputed to you when you believe in Christ. He who knew no sin became sin for us, so that in him you and I may become the righteousness of God. It's talking about the righteousness that is imputed to you in your justification. So your justification flows from your union with Christ. Then look at what it says, sanctification. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. Even your sanctification flows from your union with Christ. How many of us tend to think that in order to be sanctified, I need to keep doing some things in order to please God? And when we have such a paradigm, we lose assurance of faith. But rather, if you look at sanctification as a blessing which flows out of your union with Christ, it frees you from having to please God in a legalistic way. That's what Paul says in Colossians chapter 2, verse 10. He says, "Since you have received Christ, so walk in him." You walk this Christian life in Christ. That's a great truth which frees your soul from legalism. It frees your soul from lack of assurance, because even Christian walking is in Christ. And that's what Paul says here. Sanctification is a blessing which flows out of your union with Christ. And not only that, even your redemption. And what redemption is he talking about in that? He's talking about the redemption of your bodies at the end of age. You will be raised up in Christ. That's why Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 14, "Just as God raised Christ Jesus, he will raise us also along with Jesus and bring us into his presence along with you." You will be raised up with Christ, both body and spirit. And that's what we are expecting for Dave Long, and that's what we are expecting for ourselves after we depart from this earth. So you see, the entire spectrum of redemptive blessing, be it predestination, foreknowledge, justification, sanctification, glorification, all of it comes from the fountainhead of your union with Christ. So it's not some reality, brothers and sisters, that we are meditating today that, you know, theologians quibble about and that we can forget it in our daily lives. Every redemptive blessing that you experience flows out of your union with Christ. If this is the greatness of this reality, how should you and I respond to this great reality? How do we, if I may say, enjoy our union with Christ? Look at what Jesus says in John chapter 15, verses 1 and 4. So till now we've seen what union with Christ is, what union with Christ is not earlier, and what union with Christ entails. It entails you and I enjoying our union. In John chapter 15, verse 1 and 2, Jesus says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit." So Jesus, in these two verses, is clearly affirming that he is the true vine, and you and I are the branches. You and I, who are true Christians, and I trust all of us here are united to Christ. And those branches which are cut off are really not branches at all, because they appear to be branches. They are hypocrites within the visible church of Christ whom Christ cuts off. They were really not united to Christ. They appear to be united, but for those of us who have true faith in Christ, we are the branches who are receiving nourishment from the true vine, who is Christ. So Jesus here is affirming in the first two verses that Christians, true Christians, are united to him. Christians who are united to him will bear fruit. He is affirming union with Christ. But then Jesus goes on to give a commandment to you and I. And I find that to be a very interesting commandment. In verse 4, Jesus says, "Abide in me." It's a very interesting commandment, because abiding in Jesus, Jesus is literally saying, just remain in me. Or if I were to put it in a modern way, just stay connected with me. That's what Jesus is saying. Why does Jesus say that? He wants us to remain in him, abide in him. Because we have this tendency to run away. We have this tendency to drift. It's like a boat which is not tethered to something, and you know, it just drifts away in that lake. That's how we are. In my previous church tradition, I used to sing some hymns. Apologize for that. But in those, one of the hymns said, "Lord, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love." That's how we all are. We are prone to wander, prone to leave the God I love. And that's why Jesus says, remain in me. Abide with me. He wants you to remain and he wants you to abide. He does not want you to run away. He does not want you to drift. And if you remain and abide in Jesus, that's how you enjoy your union with Christ. That's how sanctification will flow out of your life naturally. You will do good works because you are connected to the vine. You cannot but bear fruit. But how does this look in your practical life? Look at what Jesus says in verse 4 and in verse 7. In verse 4, Jesus says, "Abide in me and I in you." And then in verse 7, Jesus says, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you." So, to abide in Jesus, or for Jesus to abide in us, is the same thing as for his word to abide in you. Jesus is using verse 4 and verse 7. I mean, he is saying the same thing in different ways. Abide in me and I in you. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. So how do you allow the word to abide in you, brothers and sisters? You allow the word to abide in you by, first of all, coming to the Lord's Day worship services. Why do we all come to the Lord's Day worship services? Can't we all just perhaps take our iPods and perhaps listen to sermon audio? There are many good preachers. Perhaps we can just listen to them and save our time. But why do we come to the Lord's Day worship service? Because it is here that Jesus is covenantally present and he preaches his word to you. And that's the way you abide in God's word. And you daily abide in God's word by your daily communion. You daily read your scriptures. Another way of abiding in God's word is to let the word of Christ dwell in you richly by singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. So, brothers and sisters, are you singing psalms at your homes in addition to singing them here? Are you memorizing scripture like what James told us about that Deacon Dixon, that he had been memorizing scripture for such a long time, and that's the real reason for his fruitfulness as a deacon? Brothers and sisters, are you memorizing scripture? Are you making God's word as part of your daily life? You are taking it in and you're recalling it and you're mulling over it and pondering it. Because if these ways are missing in your life, then you really cannot say that the word of God, the word of Jesus, abides in you. And that's, so when you allow the word of God to abide in you through these means which God has given you, Jesus abides in you. And when Jesus abides in you, you are enjoying your union with Christ. In John chapter 6, verse 56, it says, Jesus moves away from the word and he says here in John 6, 56, whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. Jesus is saying, if you feed my flesh and drink from my blood, you abide in me and I in him. What is Jesus talking about here? He's talking about what we are going to do in a few minutes, which is to partake of this sacrament. When you feed on this bread and wine, you are partaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is not merely a memorial. We are not merely remembering Christ. The Holy Spirit is present with us and he unites us to Christ in a profound way. We indeed do feed on Christ's body and blood, which is right now in heaven, Christ, through the agency of the Holy Spirit. So this is not, the sacrament is not a mere memorial, brothers and sisters. This is something profound and it does feed you. And that's why we enjoy our union with Christ by partaking of the sacrament. And so if any of your fellow church members are missing out on sacraments on a long term, encourage them to come here. Because without partaking of the sacrament, you're missing out a part of your enjoyment of Christ. So what we have gone through so far is really not something new that I'm sharing with you. This is Christianity 101. How do you live your Christian life? You live your Christian life by enjoying your union with Christ. Union with Christ is not you becoming God. It is not merely spiritual. Union with Christ is your union with the risen Savior through the agency of the Holy Spirit. It is the source of every spiritual blessing. And you enjoy your union when you abide in his word and when you feed on his flesh and drink of his blood. Brothers and sisters, shall we enjoy our union with Christ? Let's pray. Father, we pray that you will enable us to enjoy you, because that's what the whole scripture is about, O God. Even our catechism says, what's the chief end of man? It is to glorify you and to enjoy you forever. Lord, may we enjoy you more than any other thing. May the thought of hearing your word and, Lord, feeding on this sacrament, may it fill us with such gladness so that we may say along with the psalmist, I was filled with joy and gladness when they say to me, let us make our pilgrim's journey and the Lord's house we will see. Lord, this is not a blessing which we can manufacture in our hearts. It's a blessing which you give to us. So Lord, we pray that you would be pleased to grant us this blessing even as we feed on you and drink of your blood as we partake this sacrament, Lord. Be with us and bless us. In Jesus' name we pray.